This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Supreme trouble for Justice Thomas. 25 inches of rain, that's a lot in just a couple of days. You couldn't have flown into Fort Lauderdale. And a big one, a 21-year-old Air National Guardsman suspected of leaking classified docs. You will not believe this story. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for hanging with us here on these airwaves. We're going to dive right into this story about the 21-year-old. It was crazy to see the helicopters and all of the FBI agents that descended on his family's home in Massachusetts. Jack Teixeira was arrested by feds Thursday. He's the guy that they are looking at, arresting, picking up in connection with that treasure trove of leaked documents on the internet. Seems that he had a group where they played video games. You cannot make this up. They played video games, and then they shared classified information. So anyway, this is the big piece of the puzzle in this investigation into the unauthorized removal, retention, transmission, that's the scary part, of classified national defense information. So he's an employee of the United States Air Force National Guard. The National Guard. Naturally, he didn't take questions from the media. He'll have an initial appearance in a U.S. District Court for Massachusetts, and the investigation moves on. But we do know somewhat about him. He's got the rank of airman first class. He's been in uniform since he jumped into the Air National Guard back in 2019. And his base was Otis Air National Guard Base on Cape Cod. And he's a cyber transport systems journeyman. In other words, very low level. Very low level. So he's at that base. And how is he getting hundreds of pages of intelligence about the Russian efforts in Ukraine and the spying on U.S. allies? Dangerous info that was pumped out. So the Pentagon press secretary didn't comment about any of this. It was just a really small briefing and, you know, talked about, oh, it's a law enforcement matter. It's an ongoing investigation. And the Defense Department is working round the clock with the intelligence community to understand the scope of the leaks and that the Pentagon is very limited in what it can say about the documents themselves. Yeah, because they were classified. So how does someone at that level have access to that kind of classified material? There's just so many questions I have about this. And so do you. It's like a big duh. But first, we got to figure out more about the story, right? So they were found online last month. How long have they been on the internet? What was the total number that had been posted? That's still kind of unclear. There was definitely details about U.S. spying on Russia's war efforts in Ukraine. Absolutely. And secret assessments of Ukraine's combat power, as well as intelligence gathering on our allies, which is great. Hey, we're gathering information on you. So South Korea, Israel, for example, heavily appeared in this. And what does the president do? He suggested on Thursday morning that officials appear to be nearing a breakthrough in their investigation. And then, of course, later it's revealed about this 21-year-old. But what we do know for sure is there was a gang. And he seemingly is the OG, right? Original gangster. That's what they referred to him as. So he was the leader of this small online gaming group, and that's where the documents were first leaked. The main source for the story was a member of the group on the platform Discord. There's about 300 photos of classified documents that the suspect is alleged to have leaked. most of which have not been made public. And there's still lots of details that aren't verified about the gaming group or where the classified documents were first shared, just what we know, this trove of classified information, which endangered our military and intelligence professionals. So you got to think about how hard people work in the field. This is spycraft. And you got a 21-year-old and his gang of gamers that are pushing that out there. Wow. How do they get the security clearance? How do they do that and betray the country, poof, like that, like nothing? And, you know, when you could see the overhead views, it was, he's sitting there in his shorts and just a T-shirt like any other 21-year-old kid, like my nephew. He's sitting on the back porch area of his family's house, and they're swooping and swarming to get him. He's told he has to back out with his arms up, and he does that, and then they take him into custody. How does this happen? How does it go unnoticed for weeks? And why are we constantly talking about leaks? This happened in early March, but some of the documents could have popped up as early as January. Dangerous all the way around. I mean, even some of the classified documents supposedly had been altered from their original form. So think about who they have to contact, allies and partners at pretty high levels to reassure them about the leaks. And I really want to know about access and how lame that the whole thing is the more you kind of piecemeal some of it together. It's shocking, but not shocking, right? When I heard that it first broke, and I know some people at the Pentagon and everybody was being pretty tight-lipped, I was not expecting to hear about a bunch of gaming dudes that were low-level entry, pretty much, having this classified access. Wow. I mean, wow. And these were all gamers. That's what united them. Games, jokes. They were gun enthusiasts. You know, just they would go to ranges, etc. They were pals. And obviously they were also leaking classified documents along the line. It's you can't make this stuff up. You just cannot make this stuff up. If you know anyone in Fort Lauderdale, oh my goodness, it is a 1 in 1,000 year rainfall event. You know, when they start to get into 1 in 1,000, you're talking about 20 plus inches of rain. The airport was swarmed, like the runways had water all over. There's like no planes that could take off in Fort Lauderdale. I saw a man swimming in the streets. Like, I could look out my window, and it'd be people doing laps in front of my house. Picture yourself in that situation, right? That is so insane. And the rain kept on coming. So when it finally looked like it was drying up, it wasn't drying up. So when you got 25 inches in a 24-hour period, you know it's bad. So all in that Fort Lauderdale area, which includes, and I was just there a week ago, Hollywood, Fort Lauderdale, Broward County, all of those areas. And more rain fell on Thursday. Like, no relief. Ridiculous. Navigating that? Insane. Justice Thomas, next.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream to the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Cue the maraschino cherry. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination. Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
It's easy to see. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. We all know something big is coming, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming more self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. My Patriot Supply is the nation's largest emergency preparedness company, and they make it easy for you to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure some emergency food kits. There's a dozen to choose from that contain tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one food kit for each family member. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, heirloom seeds for your garden, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your items will ship that same day. Time is short. Prepare today. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdy Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Serious. I was just looking at some more video that somebody sent me from Fort Lauderdale. Oh, folks, I know that lots of you have dealt with flooding, right? And you know how horrific it can be. But you just got to think about the amounts falling. And that's what it is. And that's when, like we saw California, that's what happened in California. So that you take all of California and just put all of that rain right there, pretty much in those areas that I mentioned, which Hollywood is close to Fort Lauderdale. I mean, they're, you know, miles apart, and they're just soaked. So now the airport is going to be open on Friday morning, but since it's been closed, you have so many people that are trying to get out that that's going to be insane, going through the TSA lines and whatnot. But what are you going to do? You got to cope with the chaos of the water. I mean, that's what the deal is. All right. Speaking of what is the deal, the Supreme Court is, of course, especially when they have various sessions, there's so much conversation about what's happening on the Supreme Court, right? But this time around, what's interesting, and this is a name I'm very familiar with, is this Texas billionaire, Harlan Crow. And his companies bought a bunch of properties on a residential street in Savannah, Georgia, pretty quiet residential street, right? And it wasn't a big marquee acquisition because Crow is, all, I mean, his stuff is all over Texas, Dallas, everywhere, and other places in the country. So it wasn't something big. It was just an old single-story home, two vacant lots down the road. But what did make it noteworthy all of a sudden were the people on the other side of the deal, Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas and his relatives. So the transaction is the first known instance of money flowing from the Republican mega donor, which of course Crow is, very, very well known. And I mean, people respect him, I know, from my days in Dallas and won his ear because he again, is an iconic name. So the Crow Company bought these properties for just over like $133,000 from three different co-owners, Thomas, his mother, and the family of Thomas's late brother. The purchase put Crow in a weird spot because he now owned the house where the justice's mother was living. And soon after the sale was wrapped up, contractors started work on tens of thousands of dollars of improvements on the two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, which looks out onto a patch of orange trees, right? So the renovations included a carport, a repaired roof, a new fence and gates, and, you know, that's easy to find out because you have to have all these crazy permits and there's records and blueprints. You all know when you have to do anything that you're going to have to get permits for something. So there's a federal disclosure law that was passed because of Watergate, after Watergate, and it requires justices and other officials to disclose details of most real estate sales over $1,000. But Thomas never disclosed the sale of the Savannah properties. So if you go by the letter of the law, it appears like it's a violation of the law. And I was talking to a law professor the other day, and who specialized in ethics, and he confirmed that. So the disclosure form Thomas filed for that year had a space to report the identity of the buyer in any private transaction, like a real estate deal, and that space was blank. And so now, given that, I mean, of course, Thomas is not going to respond to any detailed questions or anything related to that. But now there's a question about that. So in a statement, Crow said he bought Thomas's mother's house where Thomas spent part of his childhood to preserve it for prosperity. He said his intention was to create a public museum at the Thomas home dedicated to telling the story of our nation's second black Supreme Court justice. He said he approached the Thomas family about the desire to maintain the historic site so future generations could learn about his life, that kind of thing. But again, the problem now is this lack of disclosure of this transaction. So the questions will be, was he hiding a financial relationship with Crow? Because if it was a mistake or whatever it is, that's what's going to be questioned here. So now, when you look at that, you wonder what happens moving forward, because there's all kinds of questions about paying fair market value for the properties and buying other properties on the street and paying less than the deal with the Thomases. And, you know, right on that same street, there was a pair of properties on the same block, a vacant lot and a small house, and that was $40,000. So, and what Crow's company would say is they get them at market rate based on the size, the quality, livability, you know, all of that. And if you don't know, Thomas was born in a place called Pinpoint. It's really kind of a pretty area outside of Savannah. And then he moved to the city where he spent part of his childhood in his grandfather's home. So, he even talks about it. He has a memoir called My Grandfather's Son. And in that book, he talks about the house. So the key thing here is going through all of this, and even I saw a thing on the form, because of course the form is out there, is does this put him in a tricky situation? I mean, does this put him in a situation where there's going to be more than just polite questions about, okay, this was blank, and what does that mean, and what is there an investigation or what happens here, I guess, in this situation? Because he didn't disclose the real estate deal with a billionaire and sold the house, but his mother continued to live there. So stay tuned. With everything else that's going on with the Supreme Court and their rulings, this is now the sidebar. You know, it seems like there's always, at least lately in the last few years, there's always been some sort of sidebar, right? And this is a big one, because this is talking about ethics and the legality and all of that in between. And you know, is it easily explained away and boom, it's put away? Or is it, no, this goes for anybody. And so because it's blank, then what happens there? Because remember, these are appointments for life, right? So if it's disclosed like, hey, this is illegal, then what happens in that scenario? What happens in that scenario? All right, quickly, I want to get to this because I think it is so damn sad. I think it is so sad that because you have, of course, video. We live in the world where you can see almost everything. It's not as bad as the UK where they have cameras like everywhere. But there was this guy, Bob Lee, who's pretty big in the tech world, right? He was the guy behind Cash App. So we see a picture of him, young guy's got a couple kids in his 40s, stumbling, dying, trying to bang onto a window in downtown area of San Francisco. And so the thought was, oh, it's the area's now pretty nice, but it's getting bad. And, you know, what happened there? Was it just a random attack? Was he mugged? And it turns out the police had a warrant to arrest a man named Nima Momeni, who is also big in the tech world. And this happened. It was a pre-dawn knifing last week, which left Lee dead in a deserted section of downtown San Francisco. And so the thought, again, was robbery, random crazy attack, or something else. But instead, they knew each other. And they were driving through downtown San Francisco, allegedly, in a car registered to the suspect that now has been arrested. And there's some kind of confrontation when they were in the car. And then all of a sudden, Lee gets out of the car. And the police allege that he stabbed Lee multiple times with a knife that was recovered not far from the spot. So they got some evidence, I would say. And they found it and contained the scene and all that. And that's how it all unfolded, right? Lee was walking through a portion of Main Street. I've been there. That's a tourist area where there is not necessarily a lot of foot traffic at 2:30 in the morning. And it just looked like such a violent death when you could just see it right in front of you. And at a time when there's so much violent crime and chaos happening and people are questioning a lot of things about San Francisco. So, wow, what makes that happen? I mean, you never really hear about that so much in the tech world. This is another one. Let's see as more of this evidence pours out and what happens there. Coming up next, got a great author. He's 90 and he's funny.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA News Update. There is flooding in Texas. Northeast of Houston, the Southern Baptists of Texas Disaster Relief Arm said it sent volunteers to help in flood-stricken areas, particularly in Jasper County. Earlier, separate reports confirmed tornadoes had caused damage in both Texas and Louisiana. O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 after battling cancer. That's according to his family. Known for his involvement in the 1990s murder case of his ex-wife Nicole Brown Simpson and her friend Ron Goldman, Simpson captured media attention during a televised slow-speed chase through Los Angeles before his arrest. Despite being found not guilty of those murders, he was later imprisoned in Nevada for robbery and kidnapping charges. Hispanic backing for the southern border wall is on the rise, with 42% of respondents in an Ipsos Telemundo poll of Hispanic adults expressing support for constructing a wall or fence along the entire U.S.-Mexico border. John Schaefer, USA News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
here.
Come
on, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCNteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life Crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
To all of you, remember, any thoughts, no matter what your thoughts are, right, how not
where
to
are you going next?
Yeah, where are you
I
going next
go there.
Yeah, how not to
that
travel
said to me, oh, sorry, that was actually said to me by a friend, and I've forgotten the one in the American embassy or the one in the British embassy, but he said, where are you going next? I won't go there. And I got it immediately.
So tell us, it's perfect. Like you say, the title, How Not to Travel. So how did you write this book? Why did you write this book? And tell us about your travels.
Well, the book really came out because, I mean, I wrote it simply because we wanted some kind of a history of our travels for grandkids. And the grandkids are not even interested enough to read it, I think. But anyway, they've heard some of the stories, so it doesn't matter. But we started traveling because we were teaching. I was teaching at my first job in Kansas, a small college, a wonderful Bethel College in North Newton, Kansas. And I had this marvelous experience of converting a gymnasium into a really functional theater, my area's speech and theater. And we had marvelous plays that were good. In fact, I was doing six a year. And that's on the quarter system. That means you have to rehearse it in 3 weeks. It was really like a professional company. And it was marvelous to do it. And I had a young man that was was very eager to do his thing, and he rewired all these dimmers that I found in a cupboard back there, 27 of them, I think. And we managed to put together a patch board, which I learned to do at the University of Southern California here in Los Angeles. And all of a sudden, we had a very flexible, functional theater, lots more spotlights. And I bought it, interestingly, from the lady, Jean Rosenthal, Theater Production Services in New York. And Jean and I later were sort of redesigning a little theater. And I said to her once, I said, you know, Jean, I'm in a PhD program at USC, Southern Cal, but I don't know if I want to really continue it. She said, go to Carnegie Institute of Technology in Pittsburgh. I said, what? And she said, go there to do your doctorate. They have a new doctorate, and it's excellent. And she said, I'll recommend you. And she did. And we were in Beirut. We have been interested in teaching abroad, and a friend of ours ran what was called the Mennonite Travel Service, and she was transferred to the Beirut, Lebanon office, and she wrote and said, you kids have been wanting to teach abroad, why don't you try the American University of Beirut and Beirut College for Women? And I wrote to both and got offered from both, but the one from BCW, Beirut College for Women, was for speech and theater. And that's my field. And I said, yes, let's take it. And we had a wonderful trip going over to there. And then teaching in Beirut is just enchanting in those days. That was the 60s. That was when Beirut was considered the Paris of the Middle East. You had the glorious snow-capped mountains overlooking practically the city of Beirut, which thrust out into the Mediterranean Sea. And it was just glorious. And we had just bought a new convertible Common Ghia. That's the sports car that Volkswagen built. Marvelous little car. Not terribly powerful, but it did wonders. In fact, we drove it from Beirut to London one summer and back from London to Beirut. And then in the same year, Beirut to Tehran and back. Hellish trips. I mean, they were wonderful, but really kind of difficult in the 60s because it wasn't a freeway all the way up to London, nor certainly not in Tehran because you went through potholed roads that really hardly existed. Anyway, kept running out. That means blowouts and sometimes running out of gas. In fact, we had, I think, 3 blowouts going to Tehran and back. And the last one, I remember I wanted to sign. They said the tires are fine when I left Beirut. And the last one had happened. And I remember seeing tires hanging above a little shop in Basra, Iraq. And I said, we went back and a man came up to me and said, I speak English. You speak English? Yes, I practice English, and I want to go to Beirut. Are you from Beirut? Yes, yes. And he said, how much is that tire? And so he mumbled something in Arabic, and he comes back and said, it's $36. And that's exactly how much money we had in dinars. And that was all the money, I think, that we had left. And I said, I can't buy that. I don't have enough money. He said, no. I tell him, no. They said, you must pay that much money. But I don't have a wife. I teach Shakespeare. Do you know Shakespeare? Yes, I know Shakespeare. Please, I have that tire for a little less money. I must have money to buy food. Oh, no, you don't buy food. Just buy the tire. And so we bought the tire. And it's the night. And there was a student that went with us, and he started driving. And BJ, my wife, was in the back jump seat. And she said, I think 80 is too fast. I said, yes, David, pull it back. And just at that moment, I think I saw a kind of shaped sign that looked kind of like a stop sign. And there was a little man, a soldier, holding a whistle, holding a rifle on the side of the road. And he's blowing his whistle. And we're shooting. And all of a sudden, the road ends, and we crash down into this gully. And the car stopped. thank God. And the lights went out, the engines went up, and I crawled out and walked 10 feet straight ahead, and it was water. 10 feet to the right,
wow,
it was water. 10 feet to the left, it was water. We were in the Marsh Arabs, the Tigris River. And if we had a robe, we were in a convertible with no safety bar over the top. And there we were. And then a man came along right after that. He was driving a Mercedes. And he crawled down this embankment. And he said, he opened up the back of the car, which is where the engine is, of course, and connected the battery to the engine. And I was able to start it. And we drove out. And the little man came down with the van. And he said he was a soldier. And he was holding his M1 rifle or whatever. And he said, I blow whistle. Why, you know, stop. And I said, madly, never mind about the only Arabic I know anymore. And he climbed into the car, and I drove up the embankment, which must have been 15 feet high, and out of that gully and onto the highway, which had no traffic at all, but us and the man in the Mercedes. And I looked, and there was a sign that said stop. And then the road ended, but it turns 90 degrees and went straight to Baghdad. So we were driving along. I was driving then about 35 miles an hour. And I started to, you know, pull myself together for the moment. But the man in the Mercedes kept following behind us. And we stopped at a little tea house that was open for some reason. I think for us, because we were the only ones there. And I had tea, and we went to pay it. And the waiter said, no, it's paid by the men over there. And we thanked him, merci, and went onto our car, shukran, and drove by then 50 miles an hour or something normal, and on into Baghdad. Well, when we got to Baghdad, all of a sudden we're in the center of cars, where, you know, there's no cars because it's 2 a.m, but it's the center of all these streets coming together, and we had no idea where to go. And I stopped, and the man in the Mercedes came around and said, where do you want to go? I said, to the YMCA. What is that, the young men? And he said, I go find out. And he did, and he came back in 3 minutes. He said, come with me, follow me. And we did. And at 2 a.m, I'm ringing the bell at the gate of the hotel where we had stayed before going on to Tehran. And they let us in and went to bed.
Wow. You have so many stories like this in your book. We could talk for hours. We don't want to give it all away. We want people to read about some of your amazing brushes, etc. So we only have like 30 seconds left. What do you want people to take away from How Not to Travel? Where are you going next? I Won't Go There, which is a clever title.
Oh, I think that they should just discover the rest of the world and how opportunity is to converse and to talk with people and get out of the package tour where they just see their own people or own kind and go lie on a beach. Don't do that. Don't waste your holiday with that. Go have this exciting moment where you are face to face with marvelous people that you get to know. You don't even have to know the language. You have just some body language that talks. And you'll love them. And if the world would be better.
Oh, boy.
And I love what we're talking about.
Yes, it was such great advice. I love that. That is the key to this book. And you can get Norman and Betty Laughlin's book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. How Not to Travel, Where Are You Going Next? I Won't Go There. Norm, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kate. So wonderful. It's also a go-to-publish available books to publish of this volume.
Perfect.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original Pure Palo de Arco and drink Super Tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original Pure Palo de Arco Super Tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. gcnfood.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Time to take you to the movies. So do we have a treat for you. So imagine this, a big break, a big movie that just opened up and I really want it to do well. It's a horror thriller film and the story follows a convicted serial killer who on the day he's slated for execution says he's a demon and he goes through a psychiatric evaluation to determine if he's really mentally fit to receive that sentence. So I had a chance to catch up with the star, Sean Patrick Flannery. Here's that convo.
What a pleasure to welcome to the show, Sean Patrick Flannery. I already like him already. Come on, I like his name. Plus, I've seen him on Young and the Restless, The Boys, a ton of different roles that he's played over the years. So he's quite an accomplished actor, and now he plays the lead role in Nefarious. And let me tell you, I saw the previews for it, and I think this movie is going to be a home run. In fact, I'm running out to see it. That's how excited I am about it. And again, we're thrilled to have him on. So, Sean, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about this role and how it came about and what it was like really embracing this, let's face it, kind of a dark character, needless to say.
Well, it came about, I had initially done a film with Chuck and Carrie, the writers and directors, in 2004. And at the culmination of that film, I told them, I loved working with you guys and I would do a Fruit Loops commercial with y'all. Well, a year and a half ago, they called me and they said, Flannery, we got a Fruit Loops commercial. And I said, let's go do it. And they said, whoa, hang on. Let us send you the script. You tell us if you want to do it. I read the script. It is one of the most surgically crafted scripts I've ever read in my life. And I called her back and I said, absolutely, I'm in. And they said, well, which role do you want to play? And I said, well, I'd love to play Nefarious. And they said, thank God, yes. And we went and we made it. I've never read a script like this that moved me that much, that was that well crafted. It's very rare for me to have an opportunity to do a character like this. I mean, these are the roles that A-list actors get. And I know I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So the fact that it landed in my lap is kind of, palms up.
So you get it, you love it, you read it, you're ready to roll. How do you prepare for a role like Nefarious?
You know, the wonderful thing about preparation for a wonderful script is the more well-written a script is, the less preparation is required. My preparation was contained between fade in and fade out. And that's not an over-exaggeration. I didn't take any of the character home with me. That character died on the word cut and was created on the word action. And like I said, sometimes you need to go outside to fill in the gaps in a script. This script had no gaps, in my opinion. I simply sat down in a chair and I said the words.
And boy, and what a tribute that is to the script, again, that you read. So tell me about the other actors in it, because it seemed like, and again, this is just basing on what I've seen, that there was some real chemistry there.
Well, I got to tell you, one of my biggest concerns in doing this film, and I told Chuck and Carrie this, I said, who's going to be sitting on the other side of the table? Because, I mean, it's largely a what they call a two-hander. And when they suggested Jordan Belfi, and I did my research on him, you know, they cast him. I would not want to do this film with anyone else on the other side of the table than Jordan. I thought he was magnificent in this role. He was a wonderful dance partner, professional, punctual. He knew everything top to bottom. It was an effortless experience with him. I can't imagine doing it with anybody else.
Yeah. So when you do this, you're excited about it, and here's the big day. What's that like for you? Is there any butterflies? I mean, you're a pro, but this is a huge role, like you said, for you. Are you excited to see how this does?
That's understatement of the year. Am I excited? You know, I've made a career out of doing movies that nobody sees. So, I mean, the fact that this is coming to theaters across the country is kind of crazy. It's neat for me and my wife and my family to see the posters at movie theaters. It's a big deal. Like I said, I hope people enjoy it. I hope people go to see it, and I hope when they do that they enjoy it. This is why you get into the business, movies like this. And I'm honored, and it is a true privilege. So I look forward to the coming weeks and see if people actually received it.
And doing this where it's like a psychological thriller and your character's in prison, and you said you have to trust Jordan because it's that two-hander and you're going back and forth and there's so much dialogue. And again, you're a pro, but there's a lot of dialogue in this for you, and you're really counting on that relationship. So it had to be gratifying to be able to pull this off, right?
Well, there was a heavy word count. There really was. But, you know, I've never been afraid of heavy lifting. I love a challenge, and this role was a challenge for me. But that's why I packed up my car after college and I drove out to L.A., because I hoped one day in my career I would get a role like this. So I think, I'm not saying I succeeded or I failed, but I certainly had been preparing a long time, you know, for a fastball over home plate. And I swung as hard as I could, and we'll see where the ball lands.
Yeah. Since you got in that car and you drove out and decided you're going to do the acting thing, do you feel fortunate in some of the roles that you have gotten and the kind of career you've had? Because you have a big body of work.
Let me tell you, I haven't had to get a real job in 30 years. I mean, it's not lost on me. I've had real jobs. I changed the deep fat fryer at Church's Fried Chicken. I moved pianos for Atlas Van Lines. I literally dug ditches. I put culverts under driveways. The fact that I've been gainfully employed and been able to feed my family and house my family while playing make-believe and pretend on movie sets, it's not lost on me. I mean, I am incredibly blessed. I'm incredibly grateful. And I hope it doesn't stop.
I love it. Great to spend some time with you. Nefarious. It opens wide. Like you said, it's in theaters across the country. We do these movie reviews here on my show. People go and support Sean and support this movie. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
All right. What a great guy. So I want you to hear the trailer for Nefarious. Check it out.
Do you think I'm evil? Evil isn't a clinical diagnosis. I'd like to ask about why you brought me here today.
Do you believe in demonic possession?
No.
Well, you won't believe anything I'm about to tell you.
And give me something to make me believe you.
Okay. Let me inhabit you.
He got in your head, didn't he?
He claims he's a demon.
He's a master manipulator. By the time he's done with you, you have your head so twisted around you think you're the killer.
Before you leave here today, you will have committed 3 murders.
Why would I do that?
Legionum Hinomenest.
What are you doing?
My name is Nefariamus. Names are important. They have power. They let everyone know who we are.
All right, are you scared yet? You know, and I think of, and I mentioned that some of the things that, he's been in, and he told us how lucky he was, and I really hope this hits the mark, because horror movies, of course, now just the genre in general, are so popular. I've always liked them in thrillers since I was a kid, but I can remember him playing in Boondock Saints, and even the sequel, the Boondock Saints 2, All Saints Day, if you remember. Connor McManus, that's who he was in that. And a lot of people know him from the soap, and I mentioned that to him, you know, Young and the Restless, when we sat down for the conversation. But he was also in that that series, The Young Indiana Jones Chronicles, and so much more. It has to be exciting, and this is an exciting time for him and for those filmmakers too as well, because they knew they had him in mind. But I love the way they said, hey, read the script, then he gets back to him, and then boom, there you go. All right, people, go see it. Be safe, be sane, be happy.
Feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdy Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. Drinksupertea.com.